Hey guys, welcome back to the Salt Nut Sweetener podcast. This is episode 6. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. So I am actually right now recording this episode like right on the back of I posted episode 5, I think like maybe 45 minutes ago it uploaded. And I was planning on being done for the day, but I felt the Lord put on my heart to just record this next episode. I have a general idea of the topic. I believe we're going in on forgiveness, and I will hold on to this episode and my recordings for a little bit. And once I feel called to release it, I will release it. I'm kind of excited. My Bible study slash young adult group is starting up again tonight. So I'm excited to get to be a part of that. I've missed not having it over the summer. Just a little life update for y'all. I'm really looking forward to getting back in the swing of that and getting back involved. And now that I bring that up, I do feel it's important to remind you guys and share with you guys how important community is. That having a godly community is so important. Scripture that really hunted me down last year, and it's in Corinthians, is bad companies corrupt good morals. And I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that play out in my life when I was in the past trying to listen to convictions of the Lord. And this was before I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I didn't even really realize that this is what these things were. For instance, long before I surrendered my life to Christ, I actually had a conviction of premarital sex. Now I'm not saying I was always perfect on that. I unfortunately didn't always have that same mindset when I was in the world. But it was a couple years before I surrendered my life to Christ that I actually started feeling heavy conviction of like, I don't want to have intimacy with someone who isn't my husband, and I don't want to do that before marriage. And it was actually about a year before I surrendered my life to Christ that I started full on practicing that. That was actually one of the first. Besides gossip was also one of the first convictions that I really felt and really stood on. But there were other convictions that I was having around that time that I wasn't able to stand on very well because I had groups of people around me that, I loved. I thought they loved me, but these people didn't have a strong relationship with Christ and they weren't fleeing sin, they weren't fleeing temptation, they weren't living lives surrendered to Christ, right? And the things that I felt conviction about, they freely did, or they approved of others doing. So when I would express conviction or I would try to stand on that conviction, I would sometimes get told I was boring and actually kind of like guilted into falling back into that temptation or that sin. Or they just wouldn't have that conviction and they would have the temptation around all the time to where I would eventually stumble into it. And I want to be thoughtful with the way they use this analogy, but it's actually one I saw on Facebook a while back of a molded fruit, and a bowl of fruit that is fresh and unmolded. And someone put that bowl of fruit in the fridge and they dropped that molded fruit right in between, like right in the mix of those other fruit. And even though those other fruit shouldn't be moldy for weeks, shouldn't be going bad. Within days, that mold had spread to all of those. And that was a little bit of an analogy of, the bad companies corrupts good morals is you can be healthy in Christ. You can be, trying to live a life pleasing to the Lord. But if you are entertaining the wrong voices, entertaining voices that aren't of God, that aren't, also pursuing Christ, if that is your consistent environment, you may start to pick up on those things. And I had seen that in my life where I would try to flee certain temptations or sins before I even realized that was really what I was doing. And I would fall right into it. And I have seen now how the Lord has really slowly established Christian community around me, followers of Christ. It's so important to know that's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. Okay, you don't need to be so worried about how many friends you have. It's what kind of friends do you have? What kind of family? Because yes, we all have family, we have people attached by blood, but there are some people who you love, who are your blood family, who are not surrendered to Christ, are not going to be leading you closer to Christ. So you even have to be thoughtful about what voices in your family you entertain, what you're participating in. So whoever you are listening to this, I just really want to encourage you to focus on community that is also focused on the Lord. Their first priority should be Christ and developing a relationship with Him. And I'll just give you a bit of an example of how Jesus Christ did this in my life. He brought me to a church. I left my previous church. Even I had wonderful people at that church, but that wasn't my home. And Jesus Christ led me to the church that right now has really been a home and really helped me cultivate and grow and develop. And I've joined volunteer groups. I've joined serve groups where I've met community. I've have Bible study groups, different groups that meet where I am able to just be around people with that similar goal of a relationship with Christ and an eternity with Christ. And I've even started to notice my friendships, the people that I build friendships with are people who I have things in common with. And my number one topic that I like to talk about, and the number one thing I pursue in my life now is a relationship with Christ and eternity with Him. And I found that the people that I want to spend my time with and get along with best also have those ideals. So I've noticed the friends that I have now also are in that headspace. So I just want to tell you all that it is so important to have that community. My pastor shared with us the well, actually, no, not my personal pastor. This was actually Bobby Chandler. Sorry, I got these two sermons. I was listening to both these sermons yesterday. I had my church sermon, but then I listened to Bobby Chandler from Authentic Church in North Carolina. I listened to his sermons online, and he was sharing about Moses, right? And how every time Moses's hands were up, the Israelites were able to move forward and conquer in battle, but every time his hands fell down, they would get overtaken. So Moses's, I believe it was his brother, and I forget who the other person was. It's been a while since I've read the story, actually came and held his hands up for him so that the Israelites may, conquer, that the Israelites may pursue. And that's why it's so important. It is so important to have that godly community, because in those times when you are down, and maybe you are losing faith, and you are losing hope, and maybe you feel really weakened, it's good to have those voices of those people who are following Christ that come in with encouragement, that come in and encourage you to keep going and to turn to the Lord and pursue the Lord. It's in those weak moments where who you listen to and what you take in is so important, because we know that the devil waits, he'll wait for an opportune moment. And those are also the times when you hear that temptation coming in of just give up. Turn back to sin, turn back to the old ways. So you need to make sure that the voices on deck, the voices that you're prepared to listen to, are ones that are going to edify, or ones that are going to tell you to keep going, or ones that are going to tell you to turn to the Lord, or ones that are going to pray for you, and not ones that are going to tell you it's okay to turn away. All right, now that we have that covered, let's go into the topic I originally thought we were going to talk about, which is forgiveness. And I can tell y'all that forgiveness was a little bit of a hard thing for me. Really hard. I think it was one of the hardest things that God called me to do, because I thought I was a forgiving person, and the Lord revealed to me I really wasn't. My perspective, the way I perceived forgiveness, was really warped. And when God was working on my heart of forgiveness, I was not in a good place. Financially, I was probably in the lowest place ever. I've talked about this in a couple episodes back. I believe it was episode 4 of, I was at that point, in the desert. I was in my car with my cat. By worldly standards, I had every reason to be mad and cynical, and it appeared like I had little to nothing good going on in my life. I had every reason to be bitter by worldly standards, not by godly standards. I have many things to be grateful for. But by worldly standards, I had been screwed over a lot, and I had been hurt a lot, and I was traumatized, and I had all this pain. I grew up in addiction. I grew up around a lot of narcissism. I grew up around a lot of control. I grew up around a lot of lust. I made a lot of unsafe decisions growing up, which put me in a lot of situations where I had a lot of pain and a lot of trauma and a lot of bad memories. And even in my young adult years, I actually had a really bad problem with my memory. That they felt were trauma related. My psychiatrist felt it was trauma related. There is one point where I was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, panic disorder, eating disorder, PTSD. So I had all of those things cooking, right? And I had just about everybody to blame. I felt like I had just about everybody to blame. And the way that I viewed forgiveness was I viewed it as someone had to come and apologize to me first, and that was the only way I would forgive them. But then I also viewed forgiveness as if you forgive someone, you have to allow them back in your life. You have to be besties with them. You have to be friends with them. You have to have all these things. And I'll take you through a little bit of the steps that the Lord took me through in forgiveness. And the first clarity, real realization moment I had was forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. The Lord really revealed to me that to forgive somebody is when you stop wishing negative things upon them, you stop wishing that they suffer, that they feel the way that you felt, that they receive, you know, people. I used to talk about karma a lot before I gave my life to Christ, of like, I hope they get their karma. I hope they get their bad, you know, they reap what they sow, and just wishing pain and wishing suffering, and even wishing that I wish they see how they hurt me and that they feel guilty and that they feel responsible. You know, the Lord told me, really revealed to me, forgiveness is you stop wishing those things. And it's also you turn vengeance over to God. I release my right to get revenge. I release my right to get my lick back. I release my right to making you feel any type of way. I release my right to feeling like you deserve to feel any type of way. Forgiveness is like literally saying, I release you to the Lord. I will let the Lord handle you. And you know, there are sometimes where the Lord will allow them to learn a lesson in regards to that in a very hard way. And there are other times where the Lord will deal with them more gently. It's the Lord's decision, not ours. And that is what forgiveness is also not needing to know, not asking God, God, well, how are they gonna learn? God, how are they gonna be punished? God, are they gonna? It's truly giving it to him. And that's the first step that the Lord took me through is releasing. And I cannot tell you how many times I wrote down in my journal and I was praying to God, like, God, I release this person to you. God, I give this person to you. And then the Lord took me through starting to pray for those people and starting to bless those people and saying, God, I pray that this person is healed. I pray that whatever hurt space in them is making them say these things, is making them do these things, is healed. God, I pray that this person knows a peace from you. God, I pray that this person has a relationship with you. Started praying that they have healing, that they have restoration. I'm saying, God, I pray that whatever the root is of this is healed, that they learn, that they have eyes to see. And the Lord did reveal to me that a lot of the ways I learned were through some rough lessons. So don't think that people are always just getting off scot-free and it's like they just wake up with the understanding. Sometimes people learn in a rough way. Okay, so I'm not saying everyone is getting off free for doing whatever they did, but you can't dwell on what's going to happen to them. God also took the joy out of me of seeing people in pain and hurt. I used to get like a little bit of satisfaction out of seeing someone who hurt me get hurt. And I think a lot of people can agree with that, but don't want to admit it out loud. That there's a satisfaction, and I told you so. You should have listened to me. Well, everyone sees I'm right now. That God took away from me. He allowed me to experience so much pain that now when I see other people doing that, I empathize instead of get excited. Because we shouldn't be getting excited. We should be empathizing, right? So God took me through that. He took me through understanding what forgiveness was and not to mix it always with reconciliation. That's the next step because I used to believe that if I forgave someone, okay, well, I have to let them in my life and I have to be besties with them and I have to tell them things and I have to all these things because you know that's just what you do when you forgive someone. I used to believe that, well, if I say I forgive them but I still keep them at a distance, then I'm dwelling on the past and I'm all this. And the Lord has really revealed to me no, because some of these people haven't had a heart posture change yet. Some of these people haven't, you know, had a revelation, had a clarity moment yet. So forgiving them and releasing them, we need to do that regardless of whether or not someone apologizes. Not everybody's going to come to you and apologize and say that they've done wrong. And I've actually had conversations with I've had multiple people tell me before that they will only forgive. And, you know, they've twisted scriptures in different ways to defend only forgiving people who they believe are repentant. And they only believe that they're repentant if they ask for forgiveness or they apologize. and saying that's what Jesus did is how they would twist the scripture, and saying so that's the only way that they're going to do it, forgetting that Jesus can read minds, that Jesus knows hearts, that Jesus all these things that we cannot do, right? But yeah, we are supposed to release these people to God regardless, because it is never our job or our power to hold them responsible, to deal out pain, to deal out exposure, to deal out these things. That is God's. But it's important to keep boundaries. Go to God. Like, if you're forgiving someone, go to God and say, God, should I allow this person back in my life? God, is it your will that I befriend this person again? Is it your will that I'm close with this person again? Or God, should I keep my distance? Have you revealed something to me for future reference to know, hey, I can't really trust this person. Hey, this person can't come into this next season with me. They may, love me, they may care about me, but they actually may be a hindrance in this next area God's trying to take me to. They may actually block some of the blessings he's trying to give me, delay some things. God really revealed to me that my problem in the past was when I would forgive some people, I would be reconciled. I would bring them back in when God never intended for me to have continue a relationship with those people or to continue a friendship. He allowed the fallout to happen. He allowed the pain to happen so that we may go our separate ways, but he still wanted me to forgive them and release them. But he didn't want me to go back to them. And there was a real rewiring of my brain that had to happen of, okay, forgiveness doesn't mean to be reconciled. This is another rewiring God had to do for me. If you've forgiven them, quit gossiping about them. Quit running around and still trying to tell everyone about what they did. If you have forgiven them and released them, quit running around and telling everyone who will listen how they hurt you, how bad of a person they are, how they lied, how they deceived, that this is their past, that this is the. Because what you really have to take a step back and be like, what am I trying to gain from this? And a lot of times it's trying to make yourself look good. Trying to make yourself look better. You may be excusing it as, well, I don't want other people to get hurt by this person. Instead of running your mouth, take it to God. Pray that God reveals things. Pray that this person is not able to deceive other people. If you are so fearful about it, take it to God. Quit trying to do your own works. That is a form of witchcraft, in case you didn't know. Control is a form of witchcraft. And a lot of times we think that witchcraft is only sitting around and like stirring up a pot, whispering into spell jars, lighting candles. But witchcraft is going and trying to manipulate. Witchcraft is going and trying to control situations. Jezebel in the Bible, she participated in witchcraft. She tried to change the narratives. She tried to control situations. Her control was a form of witchcraft in itself. And there are a lot of people out here every day participating in witchcraft, participating in control, trying to slander and trying to control narratives, not even realizing that they are participating in witchcraft. Did you know too that disobedience is just as bad as witchcraft? So I'm telling you right now, a part of forgiveness is dropping that urge to go and run and tell everybody. Someone comes and asks you to spill the tea, close your mouth. Pray to God on the times when you are supposed to speak about. I'm not telling you to keep the trauma under lock. I'm not telling you, that if someone did something that needs to be reported, that needs to be talked about or anything, to keep it quiet. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that once you've forgiven someone and released them, quit trying to deal justice in your own way. Turn that over to the Lord. Is how can you expect Him to forgive you and to show you love? Because even after we surrender our lives to Christ, we still slip up, we still stumble, we still fall ourselves, we still find ourselves being imperfect and falling into sin and doing all these things and consistently going to God and repenting and asking for forgiveness. But how are we going to think that we are deserving of that? God knows our heart. God knows that we want to please Him. God knows that we want to be good people. How are we going to feel deserving and entitled to forgiveness, but not be extending that to other people? There's a reason why Scripture says, and Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. He's not saying like literally just 70 times 7, count it all out and you're good. He's meaning like infinity times. You're going to keep forgiving that person. You're going to keep turning them over to the Lord. Because I'm telling y'all right now, unforgiveness brews anger, brews hatred. Okay. And then from that, you're going to start getting a lack of gratitude, a lack of contentment with the Lord. Before you know it, that frustration, that anger, that lack of forgiveness starts getting redirected at God. Before you know it, you start giving in to sin. You start giving in to things that are not Christ-like because of that you're holding on into your heart. Someone needs to hear this. Whether or not you choose to forgive a person doesn't determine whether or not God forgives them, whether or not they go to heaven. You could hold someone in forgiveness your entire life, and they could still be going to heaven. They could still be having a relationship with Jesus and repenting. Just because you find them unworthy of forgiveness doesn't mean God does. Doesn't mean Jesus does. When he came here and he paid that price, he already knew all the egregious sins that he was paying the Christ, that he was paying the price for. He knew everything that was going to be done. He knew every sin that you are going to continue to commit. And I know this, I'm speaking from experience, because God has had to humble me on it in times when I felt like I was more deserving of forgiveness than other people, and I didn't even realize I was doing that. I didn't even realize that I was praying to God for forgiveness and expecting God to just, move on from it and allow me to move on, while there was someone that I was still holding them to something. I was still saying, well, they did this, and like I don't know if I can let that slide. I don't know if I can turn them over to God. I don't know if I can let that go. I'm telling y'all right now, those of you who are struggling with this, there was someone that I was talking to a couple months ago who was having a problem with this, and I actually wrote them out a little bit of a list of what I was doing in the time when I was really, practicing forgiving. And every time a bad thing about that person came to mind, every time that person came to mind and something that they did to hurt me, something that they did to disrupt me came up, and I felt the need to talk about it, I made up rules where it's like I have to pray for them first. I have to take it to God first. Before I go and talk about how this person was messy or this person hurt me, I need to pray to God first that they're delivered. I need to pray to God first that they're healed. And anytime that I found myself slipping up and speaking death over someone and talking negatively about someone, I made myself bless them. I was like, okay, now I have to pray to God that they're going to be blessed. And at first, I hated doing that. I was like, why am I praying that someone's blessed after they just prayed to curse me? But I'm telling you right now that like God has really revealed to me that that's what kind of really sets you apart, right? Because we're not supposed to look like the world. And scripture says it's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to bless those who bless you. It's hard to love those who hate you, to bless those who curse you. And that's what sets you apart as a follower of Christ, that even though they're cursing you, you're going to bless them. Even though they hate you, you're going to love them. Even though they're trying to push you away from Christ, you're going to pray that Christ hunts them down, comes after their heart, and loves them. And when they're trying to speak death over you, when they're trying to speak word curses over you, when the enemy is trying to attack you through them, when the enemy is trying to get you out of character and to be hateful and to be unforgiving, that is, the best way to be Christ-like. It's actually a little bit of a form of protection, is what God has really revealed to me in my private time with him, of not allowing these things to take root, is by continuing to bless and love that person. Not, we are so, this generation is so fixated on matching energy of, well, if this person is negative or this person speaks death or this person does this, I'll do it back. And that just starts like a ping pong game. That just starts like a back and forth. The best way to kill off that negativity, the best way to shut that down, is to meet it with love, is to meet it with compassion, is to meet it with blessing. The devil is not going to, the devil, you don't give him a foothold, don't give him a door. When you start letting in that wickedness, when you start matching that wickedness, you're giving him a little bit of access to you, access to hurt you, access to harm you. And that one took a while for me to process. I was deep in spiritual warfare when the Lord had really revealed to me, he's like, the best way to combat this is by blessing them, by loving them, because you're giving the devil no foothold. When you bless them, when you love them, when the devil tries to falsely accuse you, when the devil tries to get legal access to terrorize you, to hurt you, he doesn't have anger to play on. He doesn't have cursing someone back. He doesn't have speaking death over someone back. You're being Christ-like in the way of loving them and blessing them. Now, I'm not saying I was perfect. I'm not saying I will be perfect. I know that there is a case I will mess up. Just recently, y'all, I'll share this conviction with you. I want to be thoughtful with the way I word this because I don't want to like expose this person's identity very much. But I've been dealing with heavy, heavy, heavy spiritual warfare. I really feel like, for a while now, I've had a call to ministry over my life, but I haven't tried to force it. I've really been trying to wait on God and His timing, because this is His calling, this is His thing, this is not mine. I can't do it apart from Him. And recently, I have been starting to step more into it, but leading up to it and stepping into it, I have faced spiritual warfare like no other. And one of the really rough aspects of warfare, I've shared on here, how I handled physical injury not long ago. Like I've been still walking with a little bit of a limp of having injured ankles and other things going on. But one that hit really hard is there was someone I thought I was cool with, and there's someone I really can't avoid. I have to be around them consistently. That the best way I can word it is they have become a real tool for the enemy. And I see that the devil has really taken root in their life, that there are some real demonic influences and they don't even recognize it. They adamantly deny it. They view everyone else as the demon. They view everyone else as demonically charged, demonically fueled. And there's actually episode five on here, how I said I was very much in denial and it was everyone else was the problem and I was the one with the good intent. That's a little bit of the headspace I find this person being in right now, and you can't tell them nothing. In their eyes right now, I know there's a paranoia thing going on. I am wicked, I am evil, I am all these things in their eyes. And they actually, it was crazy, y'all, this form of spiritual warfare, I was just vibing, I was just chilling. And I could tell something overcame this person and they turned and they said the most venomous, most hateful things getting up in my face. Like I actually felt very much like in danger and I actually had to get like law enforcement involved because I felt very in danger. And this person appeared to chill out for a little bit. And once the authorities were gone, it was back. And when I tell you, this person was gaslighting. They were saying every curse word, calling me everything, having every false accusation. And it was like following me around, repetitive, gaslighting, gaslighting, gaslighting. And for so long, I was sitting there not saying a word. I was being kind, I was being loving back. And I knew that the intent of this was just to get me to crash out, to get me to react, to get me out of character, to get me to be venomous back. And I had been doing so good for so long of like not reacting. And I had lots of past situations trying to trigger me react where I felt like I handled it very well. And I was a certified crash out. Before Christ, I would raise my voice, I would yell, I would go back, I would say things to hurt someone. Especially when I was a teenager, I tried to cut deep. If someone went deep, I tried to go deeper. And I had really felt like, okay, Christ had healed me in that. And honestly, I was on my high horse a little bit. And I had been gaslit with that. I had held out very good. And it was finally, like hours later, that some of the things this person said just got to me too much. And although I didn't say things to cut them as deep, I started raising my voice and defending myself. And I felt convicted afterwards. Because I started raising my voice back at this person and I started defending myself and I started saying like, no, you're lying. No, you did this. Do you not recognize you did this? And although I wasn't falsely accusing this person, I wasn't calling this person names or doing those, I was still raising my voice. I was still entertaining it, like I was still feeding into it and I felt convicted of it after that. And I had to repent. I within minutes started repenting to God, where it's like, God, I reacted. And that was the purpose of this. This was just trying to get me to react and trying to get me to defend and trying to get me to crash out and trying to get me to harden my heart towards this person. And I kind of fed into it a bit. I fell off my high horse. Help me to do better, Lord. And after that more gaslighting happened, and glory be to God, I didn't fall into it. But I'm telling y'all right now that, it can be really easy to like, once you're on that forgiveness and staying calm and staying relaxed, to get on a high horse and say, well, that's just me and that's how I'm always going to be. And you'll get humbled real quick. I got humbled real quick. And now I have to be a bit more thoughtful of it right? Now I'm a bit more watchful of it. And that reminded me to go in and bless that person and pray for that person and pray for their deliverance and pray for their healing, you know, and I need to continue to do that. So I'm not saying that you're expected to be perfect and that you're going to be perfect. Don't expect perfection. Okay, don't hold yourself to an impossible standard. Because I know in the past, me in the past, when something like that happened, there's a chance I would have gotten into like a real type of guilt shame cycle and maybe even kind of turned away from forgiveness and everything like that for a while because I would feel so guilty or shame. So I actually see this as a little bit of a growth moment of, dang, that was actually a pretty quick rebound. Within a few minutes, I was able to recognize what I did wrong, humble myself, like hold myself accountable and pray for forgiveness from the Lord and pray for this person. That's a much quicker turnaround than I would have had in the past. So I did applaud that of like, okay, this is growth. Glory be to God. But yeah, I guess where we're going with this, y'all, is God doesn't expect you to be perfect. And I'm not saying that you're just always going to be able to forgive and never be angry, never be upset or anything like that. That's not what God expects from you. But when you do find yourself falling into that, repent, turn to God, okay? Ask Him to forgive you and don't stop forgiving others. Now, I know I do feel this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but I think that's as far as we really need to go with this podcast episode today. Oh, wow, 31 minutes. This was not a short. It felt quick. All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening to episode 6 whenever this is posted. I am your host, Danielle Townsend of the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I pray that you come back and listen to episode 7 when it is released. Hit subscribe so you can be around for it. Have a wonderful day. God bless.